Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. We are so glad that you are with us on this rainy end to the 4th of July weekend. I've got a few announcements. Just a reminder to anyone in our media team who's here that we don't have a media team meeting this coming Tuesday, because we're taking July off. And also connected to that, I will be at De Chola Center from Tuesday through Thursday of this week. They asked me to help out with their music, arts, dance, and drama camp, and so I'm going to be one of the folks doing a couple of workshops for the kids and a couple of other things for the kids that are there. So I will not be in the office physically, but you can certainly, I'll have Wi-Fi, I'll have my phone. You can certainly get in contact with me anytime you need. And then the other thing I wanted to let you know about is that I am trying something new to help me manage my time. Some of you might have seen in the newsletter that I'm trying to schedule appointments with a web-based thing called Calendly, which connects with my personal and my work calendars. So if you see a time that is that's listed as available on the website, it is available for you to make an appointment with me. And there is also a short little how-to video in the newsletter. And then if you're not a techie person, you are more than welcome to call the office, and Alana has access to that as well, and she can schedule you in on my behalf. And then I will get a little notification on my phone that you've scheduled the meeting, and I'll be ready for you. So I'm going to try that out and see if it works, see if it helps me manage my time a little bit better, and we'll go from there. You know, maybe it'll be a good thing for you too, because then you'll know as soon as you see appointments on the list that you can feel free to schedule and not worry if you're gonna bother me or if you're gonna come at a bad time or something, because whatever you see is available. So, are there any other announcements?
We need liturgists for next week, the 13th, and also the 27th. So if you're available, please sign up or just let me know. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Seeing nothing else, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Oh, sorry. Sorry, John.
Are we better now? There.
Yeah, there we go.
I guess I should have stood up. At the Christian home, we're bringing back one of our old traditions of the pie social, and that'll be Saturday the 19th from 1 to 3. The pies are coming from a vendor this time instead of everybody else bringing one. We're hoping to have a raffle, a bouncy house, and we'd really like you to come and see what we're all about and check out what it's like having the new owners and how we're taking care of our elders. So 1 to 3 on Saturday the 19th.
And our illustrious new chaplain, if anybody hasn't heard. So, very, very good. Now, I'm gonna look around again, because I no other announcements for real this time? All right, then let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Good morning. Good morning.
We're doing something a little bit different this morning, so I get to talk while you guys get to listen to me. This is a poetic call to worship. If you come into this place with the hope of growing deeper, with the hope of connecting, with the hope of glimpsing God, and if all of those things take place and your spirit is moved, and you swear God is near, and you feel more than lucky for the gifts of faith, and then the service comes to an end, and it's time for you to leave, and you ask yourself, where do we go from here? Then I would say to you, go out into the world to love and to share and to learn, but come back soon, because this is the beginning. This is only the beginning. So come on in, fill your cup here, be present here. God is here. Let us worship Holy God. If you are willing to stand, please join me in our call to worship. I just did the call to worship. Our opening prayer. Thank you. Good Lord. God of conversation, we are here trying to be courageous. We are trying to be curious. We are here trying to build connections in this lonely and isolated world. We want to be somewhere other than here. A place and time that is closer to your promised day, where all are fed, the prisoners are freed, the homeless are housed, and every person knows their worth. And we know we can't get there without honest and vulnerable conversation, but we don't always know what to ask. We fear saying the wrong thing. We fear offending, so we eat our words and stay quiet, hoping that answers will come, but they don't always come. Connection has never been quite so easy for us. So today, we ask for your words. Plant questions in us that, like seeds, grow into a garden of connection. Plant affirmation in us that, like laughter, is contagious and mood-changing. Plant curiosity in us that, like rain, washes away any judgment we carry, replacing it with a desire to understand. And when we have your words in our mouth and your mind in our hearts, then teach us how to listen. Help us to hear and make space for unspoken truths. Then teach us how to listen to voices that differ from us, voices with different opinions, with different histories, with different perspectives, so that like Ruth and Naomi, we might move through disagreement and ultimately find you. Amen. Our opening hymn today is 451, Be Still My Soul.
Thank you.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm not seeing any young ones here, so I will come to all of you. So today we are talking about a woman named Ruth. Ruth is a person in the Bible who doesn't get as much airtime as what some people do. A lot of the men in the Bible get a lot more airtime than a lot of the women do. But Ruth does some pretty interesting and faithful things. Ruth is the daughter-in-law of Naomi, and Naomi loses lots of things in her life. She loses her husband, and Ruth actually loses her husband and everything as well. And so Naomi wants to leave and tells Ruth that she should go back to where her mother is, because Naomi thinks that Ruth should kind of start over and do something new. And Ruth says, "No, I'm gonna go with you." And it was not an easy road for them, but Ruth was able to take care of Naomi, was able to take care of herself, and in the process, she meets this guy named Boaz. And Boaz was able to help Ruth save her family, and also take care of Naomi. And they were able to get married and have children. And so because God was with Ruth, Ruth found Boaz, and all of these things God worked together for good. And so sometimes we don't always know what's going to happen when we go on an adventure. Anybody who was at Vacation Bible School remembers that we talked a lot about going on an adventure and that God is with us no matter where we go and that God is always with us no matter what we face. And that's kind of what we're talking about today with the story of Ruth. So will you pray with me? I'll say a short phrase and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for Ruth and for Naomi. Thank you for reminding us that you are always with us, no matter where we go. And help us share your love in everything we do. Amen.
Our reading today comes from Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 through 22. During the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man with his wife and two sons went from Bethlehem to Judah to dwell in the territory of Moab. The name of that man was Elimelech. The name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Euphrates from Bethlehem in Judea. They entered the territory of Moab and settled there. But Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Then only she was left along with her two sons. They took wives for themselves, Moabite women. The name of the first was Orpah, and the name of the second was Ruth. And they lived there for about 10 years. But both of the sons, Mahlon and Chilion, also died. Only the woman were left, without her two children and without her husband. Then she arose along with her daughters-in-law to return from the field of Moab, because while in the territory of Moab, she had heard that the Lord had paid attention to his people by providing food for them. She left the place where she had been, and her two daughters-in-law went with her. They went along the road to return to the land of Judah. Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back, each of you to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. But they replied to her, "No, instead, we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there be sons in my womb that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go. I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more, if I were to bear sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters. This is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will had come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me and more, so if even death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it. So both of them went along until they arrived at Bethlehem. When they arrived at Bethlehem, the whole town was excited on the account of them, and the women of the town asked, "Can this be Naomi?" She replied to them, "Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has returned me empty. Why would you call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has deemed me guilty?" Thus Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, returned with her from the territory of Moab. They arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Here ends the reading for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Christina. Our media song today comes from David Wilcox. This is "Show the Way."
You say you see no hope. You say you see no reason we should dream that the world would ever change. You're saying love is foolish to believe, always be some crazy with an army or a knife to wake you from your daydream, put the fear back in your life. Look, if someone wrote a play just to glorify what's stronger than hate, would they not arrange the stage look as if the hero came too late? He's almost in defeat. It's looking like the evil side will win. So on the edge of every seat, from the moment that the whole thing begins, it is love who mixed the mortar, and it's love who stacked these stones, and it's love who made the stage here. Though it looks like we're alone in this scene, set in shadows, like the night is here to stay. There is evil cast around us, but it's love that wrote the play. For in this darkness, love can show the way. Now the stage is set. You feel your own heart beating in your chest. This life's not over yet. So we get up on our feet and do our best. We play against the fear. We play play against the reasons not to try. We're playing for the tears burning in the happy angel's eyes. For it's love who mixed the mortar, and it's love who stacked these stones, and it's love who made the stage here. Though it looks like we're alone in this scene set in shadows, like the night is here to stay. There is evil cast around us, but it's love that wrote the play. For in this darkness, love will show the way.
Thanks to Deb Van de Zand for putting that one together for us. My friends, will you join me in the spirit of prayer? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So we've come to the end of the sermon series that A Sanctified Art put together called I've Been Meaning to Ask. And we've learned to ask a lot of difficult questions. Right? We started off by asking the question, where are you from? Remembering that that's not necessarily a geographical question, but it's also like a question about what you've experienced and how your life has been formed. Then we talked about where does it hurt? We talked about how the struggles that we've faced in this world make us who we are. We talked about, we talked about what do you need? Remembering that there are ways that we can help somebody that go beyond some of the surface level things. I'm not going to say anything bad about casseroles because Laura Reynolds decided to tell me in the newsletter that she actually likes casseroles. So I'm not going to disparage casseroles anymore, Laura Reynolds. She knew what my point actually was. I'm just teasing her a little. It's all good. And so this week, we close out with the question, where do we go from here? In juxtaposition to the story of Ruth and Naomi. There are lots of ways to ask that question, and several other ways we could rephrase it. What do we do now? How do we find courage in this situation? What is God calling us to do next? So I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the story of Ruth and Naomi than what the scripture does, because not everybody knows the story of Ruth and Naomi as well as some of the other things as I was talking about in the time for the children who were hopefully watching online. I feel like Mr. Rogers a little bit when I do children's messages for all of you and hoping the kids are watching online. But as we enter into this time of thinking about it, I invite you to consider a question. You might talk to other people around you. You might just kind of ponder it yourself. But here's the question. I want you to think about a decision that you made that changed your life for the better. The kind of decision that without it, you wouldn't be the person you are today. It can be a small one, it can be a big one, whatever that decision is. Think about a decision that has changed your life for the better. And I'll give you a little bit. You can turn to somebody and talk to them about it, or you can just simply ponder that yourself. But I'll give you a minute or so to think about that. And again, the question is: think of a decision that changed your life for the better. Thanks for humoring me. So this has happened a couple of times in my own life, and one of the most recent times has been coming here to serve you as your pastor. Now, Waupun is not too far away from my geographical roots. A lot of you know my immediate family. But as I was embarking on the first real adult job of my life, I hardly knew anybody in this area, and I had to trust that God was going to be with me on the journey. And as I've shared with you, I've experienced so many amazing gifts in this experience. Y'all are so generous to me. You're so caring and kind to me, and I just feel super, super blessed to be here and to be your pastor. These things can sometimes surprise us in certain ways. I left the home that I had known for basically my whole life. I went to college, I went to seminary, but Nina was always kind of my guiding light in lots of ways, and my immediate family. And so I didn't know whether God would use the gifts God had given me, to be a good pastor, or if I would metaphorically fall flat on my face. Could have gone either way. I wonder if that's kind of what Ruth was thinking about. I've never actually preached on Ruth before, and so this gave me kind of an interesting opportunity to dive deeper into the story of Ruth. And it gave me an opportunity to dive deeper into the story of a faithful woman in the biblical narrative, something that we don't always get the chance to do. So for anybody else who didn't really know the story of Ruth, I'll give you a brief summary of where we're at this point. So the story begins with a struggling family in Bethlehem who is in the midst of a famine. In order to find food, they migrate from Bethlehem all the way to Moab. And in the midst of all this, Naomi's husband dies, Ruth's husband dies, and Orpah's husband dies. So all of them are without a husband. And fun fact about Orpah, Oprah Winfrey's name was supposed to be Orpah, but they messed up the birth certificate. So little trivia fact. So Naomi, whose name actually means pleasant, is now in the throes of immense grief and now has to try to go on with her life. And she sees herself as too old to remarry, which, according to the commentaries I've read, might be true. Typically, in biblical times, women would marry in their mid-teen years, and if Naomi has two daughters-in-law, she is probably 40 or so. And so that's definitely, you know, pretty old for biblical times. People marry at all sorts of different ages in our culture now, but that definitely would not be a common theme these days. And so being in your 40s with no husband and no living sons means pretty much your goose is cooked. And so Naomi gives a farewell blessing to her new daughters-in-law and tells them to go back to the land of their mothers in hopes of finding men and going on with their lives. And of course, Naomi and Orpah and Ruth are all devastated. In fact, Naomi says that instead of being called Naomi, which remember, that name means pleasant, she should rather be called Mara, a name that means bitter, right? So pleasant to bitter. Because she believes that God has dealt bitterly with her and punished her for something. She doesn't know what, but she feels like she's been punished. But Ruth doesn't listen to what Naomi wants her to do, and instead, Ruth makes a rather shocking promise. She says, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." And if you don't know the story of Ruth, Ruth goes to gather barley in the fields to provide for herself and Naomi, where she unexpectedly meets Boaz, who is a kind and generous relative of Naomi's late husband. And Boaz notices Ruth's loyalty and her work ethic and offers her protection and provision, which sparks a series of events grounded in mutual respect and trust. Naomi then encourages Ruth to take another courageous step, asking Boaz to act as a kinsman redeemer. That's what they called it in the Bible, but basically that means Ruth is going to marry Boaz. A move that places Ruth's future in Boaz's hands, which is, of course, very risky. And Boaz responds with integrity and honor, securing Ruth's and Naomi's well-being through marriage and redeeming their family's legacy. And what begins as an act of survival becomes a story of grace and love and redemption, which reminds us that faithful and vulnerable decisions often open the door to blessings we could have never expected. So, what does Ruth's story have to do with us? So, if you take one thing away from today's sermon, I want it to be this. When we make tough decisions which alter the course of our lives, choosing to trust God and lean on each other is not only a courageous act, but it can also be one that often gives us gifts we don't expect. Lots of people have told me that one of the big reasons that they come to this church is because of the amazing community that they've found here. Lots of people have come to this church from lots of places, right? And through getting to know each other, we have understood the amazing gift of being known. That's the kind of thing that I've been trying to do with this sermon series, to provoke us to ask deeper questions that invite us into more intentional and meaningful relationships with one another. Of course, there are certain people in this church that you probably know really well. You know, everybody's got their close friends, and that's a great thing. And you all are able to talk to me about some of the things that are going on in your friends' lives and things like that, and that's great too. But what if we did a better job of getting to know more about the people in that in this congregation that we don't know so well? Not everybody knows each other at the same level, and of course, if everybody knew everything about everyone, it would be a little weird, especially in a small city like this. You know, word gets around, and it would, you know, we don't necessarily want to spread any gossip, because we all know what happens when you do that. But what I'm getting at here is, if we take a risk to go to a new stage of our lives and a new place, we can find the ways that God is at work that we would have never gotten to know otherwise. And this has been such an amazing first call for me as I've been here being your pastor, and I feel like I have a lot of work to do yet, and I'm really excited about all that. And through meeting Boaz, Ruth was able to secure a future for her and Naomi that might not have happened otherwise. And so this week, I invite you to think about what God might be doing in your life when you're not cognizant of the possibilities. If you're asking yourself the question that a sanctified art proposes to us, where do I go from here? What am I supposed to do now? You might learn something about somebody else in this congregation who has at some point in their life asked that question in a moment of desperation, perhaps. And there are so many amazing and powerful stories in this congregation, and I'm so grateful to bear witness to people's faith and how God has worked in and through and among all of you. And it feels like this media song from today is just so perfect for what I've just shared. And to be honest, I didn't entirely know what this sermon was going to be because, like I said, I had never preached on Ruth before. And so this is kind of a God thing that these words from this song are just so perfect. And I'm going to reshare some of the lyrics to the chorus again to further drive the point home. David Wilcox says, "In this scene set in shadows, like the night is here to stay, there is evil cast around us, but it's love that wrote the play. For in this darkness, love can show the way." So out of impactful decisions, even tough decisions, comes God's grace when you least expect it. So my friends, may you be open to the possibilities. And may you be ready to notice the people and situations that will help you live into the amazing story that God accompanies you in. And may you feel love showing the way And may God break through in ways that you don't expect. May it be so. Amen. So, as we think about these things, and as we remember what it means to follow God and where God leads, this affirmation of faith that was written into the liturgy, I thought was really lovely. So let's share in that affirmation of faith together. We believe that God is a conversationalist, and asking, what do you need? Where does it hurt? Who do you long to be? We see this conversational God in Jesus Christ, God's own flesh, who walked the earth speaking with the poor, the hungry, the lonely, and the outcast. We believe that our call as people of faith is to continue this holy conversation with those who think like us, as well as with those who share little in common with us. We believe that through these conversations, we are able to catch a glimpse of the kingdom of God so that we may continue the conversation in hope. Amen. As we continue in a time of prayer and discernment, I ask you to think of the people and situations who might need our prayers and our love today. And I invite you to take a few moments of silence thinking of those people, and we'll share prayers together. Amen. So just a couple of joys and concerns. We remember Kathy Vanderbush as she continues to find out more about her new cancer journey. They still don't know what stage she's in at the moment, and they just continue to ask for prayers. And so for Kathy and Brian and Kathy's medical team, God in your mercy. For this country, for what we love about it, and what we wish were different, and for the ways that we celebrate how far we've come, and the ways that we need to continue to work to make it a more perfect union. God in your mercy. Let's see. I think that's all I have. Who else has prayers this morning that they'd like to lift up? Linda's got one.
We have some dear friends in Caryville, Texas, and we have found out that they're okay, but prayers for them and their community as they are searching for people from the flood. The pictures are extremely devastating, and there's still a lot of people missing. So.
Yes, indeed. For all of those in Texas who are just in grief and shock after this terrible, terrible flooding, and for all the children who have died, and it's just devastating. So for all of those in need of God's presence in this extremely difficult time, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Anything on Zoom?
No.
And I also just want to give a shout out to we have lots of birthdays in this community of faith around this time. Of course, I turned 31 on the 2nd, which was Wednesday, and Dorothy Southern turned 31 again on the 2nd, and Laura Reynolds and Amy Clark both had birthdays on the 4th, and they are remarkably preserved. They turned 20 again. With gratitude for all of them and what they bring to this community of faith. If there are no other prayers, let's share in a time of communal prayer. God of grace and love, sometimes we don't know where to go from here. Sometimes, like Ruth and Naomi, we have to be courageous as we discern the path forward. And we have to trust you in a big way. And yet, somehow, you make a way for us. You remind us of the many ways that you continue to provide for us. We give you thanks for all of that. And in the midst of all of the difficulty, flooding in Texas, homelessness in our community and abroad, poverty and food insecurity, and war and conflict and abuse and discrimination in all of its forms, even somehow in all of that, you are able to show us the way and remind us that it's love that wrote the play. Even when we are standing in the shadows. So we ask you to remind us how to be your hands and feet in this world of need. How to be the hands and feet of that love that shows the way, that hopefulness that shows the way. You give us so many gifts, O God. Help us use them to benefit the needy and the oppressed and the lonely and the hurting and the people in this congregation who need it, the people in this community who need it, and the people in this world who need it. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who showed us the way each and every day, and who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give your gift as the ushers come around by placing it in the offering plate, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give with love and your heart that shows the way. And also a note, if you're joining us at home, this is a great time to gather your elements for communion that we'll be sharing together after the doxology. So this morning's offering will now be received. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Holy One, thank you for these gifts which offer us the opportunity to care for our community. Help us use them with compassion for the good of all who are in need. Amen. You may be seated. The time has come to share communion with one another. As a reminder, this is an open table of the United Church of Christ. We recognize in this church that this table does not belong to us. It does not belong to me. It does not belong to the denomination even, but it belongs to Christ, who is the host and invites all of us to participate, whether you are a member of this church or this denomination or not. This table is for you. It's one of the holiest things about sharing a meal together is the conversation that accompanies it. Think back to the tables of your life. The kitchen table you grew up with as a child, the cafeteria tables with friends, date night tables with your beloved, the table in your current home that has hosted meals with family and friends. At all of these tables, conversation has flowed. How are you? What do you need? How's work? How's your grief? When can I see you again? What are you learning these days? Tell me everything. And there may be some tears, and there usually is some laughter. That's the holy thing about tables. They bring us together in conversation. This table is no different. Here at this table, All people are invited, no matter what you have done or left undone. And here at this table, we wear our hearts on our sleeves. Here at this table, we are free to tell God the truths of our lives, where it hurts, what we need, where we're from, and where we hope to go. And here at this table, we are not alone. We are surrounded by community, surrounded by connection. So come to this table with your courage and with your fear, with your curiosity and with your doubt, with your hope and your vulnerability. God is here, and there is a seat saved for you. And Jesus set a special place for his friends when his time had come. On the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Every time you eat this, do so in remembrance of me." And then, after they were finished eating, he took a cup of wine and he poured it out. And lifted it up and gave God thanks and said, "This is my blood, the cup of blessing, the cup of new life. Pour it out for you. Every time you do this, do so in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of where it hurts. Do this in remembrance of who you are, who God has created you to be, and do this in remembrance of where you want to go from here and how your faith needs to grow." And so, Holy Spirit, come alive in these gifts of bread and cup, that we may be reminded of the beloved community that you opened to us. Just a reminder of how all of this works for anybody who needs one. If you come down the center aisle, you will see two larger trays of bread, which include gluten, and you'll see a smaller tray of bread, which is gluten-free. You'll take a piece of bread and you'll eat it, and then you'll see cups which contain grape juice, and we will share together as you come up, and after you've partaken, you can return to your seats by way of the side aisle. So the gifts of God are given for the people of God. Come, my friends, for all things are now ready. And if you're not able to come yourself, someone will bring elements to you. Thank you. Please join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for the opportunity to be together at this table and share in these great blessings. Help us embody your beloved community in each and every part of our journey. Amen. Our closing song is We Will Rejoice in Love. We will be singing this one more time for now, and we'll put it away after this for a little while, and then it'll come back at some point, probably. But as we close out our sermon series, let's sing this one more time. As we prepare to go today, let us read our mission and vision statements. We go now to love God's creation, share in fellowship, and live Christ's example while seeking on our lives and our communities. Living our core values, we, the family of Union Congregational Church, seek to deepen our own spirituality with acceptance of all through love and a commitment to Christ. My friends, receive these words of benediction. Family of faith, as you leave this place, may God grant you the curiosity to counter assumptions, the vulnerability to befriend, the bravery to speak your truth, the wisdom to listen, the strength to ask for help, the resiliency to choose love even when it's hard, especially when it's hard, and the awareness of the Holy Spirit always beside you. In the name of the great connector, love itself, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.